Temptation's hard, isn't it? And as simple as a marshmallow, it can be devastating to have to wait to not allow it. Did you notice the little touching? And then just barely got to smell it and then got to taste it just a little bit, lick it. And oh man, it is hard, isn't it? Temptation, we all deal with it. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 18 is where we're going today. Matthew chapter 18. And if you were not able to be here last week, we talked through the idea that everyone will be tempted. That as long as you live in this world, there will be temptation. You can't get away from it. It's going to happen. And so here's what we need to deal with today. The tough choice. How do we handle the tough choices? Now, how many of you like to go fishing? Just raise your hand. All right, good. Well, then you're going to kind of at least be able to identify just a little bit with this message. Now, I have my fishing box here, my tackle, and then this is not mine. It is pink, so this is not mine. This is one of my girls, but I wanted to show you. But if there's a fish to be caught and I don't have a pole, I don't mind using a pink pole. You can still catch a fish, right? Now, if you've ever gone out, the basics of fishing would be that you have a line. Somehow, some way, it doesn't matter if you jerry-rig it off of a cane fishing pole or something like that. How many of you have ever cane fishing poled? Yeah, sweet, good, okay. So it doesn't matter what the pole really looks like, the stick looks like, but you have to have some kind of line to get into the water, and then there has to be something on the end that's going to be a hook. Now, once you put the hook on, if you just throw an empty hook into the water, will you catch anything? No, you actually have to put something on it that begins to look enticing, right? So you put some kind of bait. Now, there's certain types of fishermen, when you throw it out and once you cast it out, you can sit out there and just watch the bobber go up and down. And some people, maybe that's their type of fishing. You just put the hat down real low and you just kind of have to kick back. And that's all you do the rest of the day is just happen to let the fishing pole and the bobber, and that's your type of fishing. Now, for some, that is way too slow. There's other types where you throw it out 4 or 5 times, you're reeling it back in, and then you're going, well, there's no fish here, and you move to the next place. Or you do something else. You say, well, that one didn't work, and so what you do is you come back to the tackle box and you begin looking through and you say, well, this is no good, sorry, that just doesn't work at all. I'm going to try something else. So you begin to look and say, oh, that might work, and you put that on. Or you say, you know what? What really needs to happen, it needs to have some kind of flash to it, right? And then you put this on, take off the bobber, and it's a lure. And now it has all kinds of shiny things, and it makes noise. You're going, oh, that's what I really need. For some, you're going, you know what? I need a lizard. If I just change it out, and you say, what's your goal is this? Your goal is to entice, correct? To entice the fish by using some kind of bait that they like. Now, it can be this. Now, maybe you're going, no, what I really need is I need a blue worm. I need a blue worm. That's what's going to get it. It's a blue worm. So you put the blue worm on. Whatever, you change colors, you change lures. Your goal is to entice the fish. Whatever it takes, whatever color, whatever, and you're going from one place to the next place. Now, does the fish have a choice? The fish always has a choice. There could be some in here who don't like fishing because when you went fishing, you caught nothing. Now, don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. But there could be some that you hate fishing because you didn't catch anything. And you're saying, well, Heath, I changed all the things. I changed out all the bait. I changed it all. I did everything I was supposed to. I even went to this place. I went to the next place, and I just couldn't catch anything. There are days when you don't catch anything because the fish always have a choice. Are you following this? Now, a couple years ago, I took my kids deep sea fishing. Jamie and I, we went deep sea fishing. And what was fun about that was then I got to take my kids. They had never been out deep sea fishing. I said, okay, guys, we're going to do something different. Now, we went out. And when we got off, when we got out of the car to go to the boat, my girls stepped out, and Jamie had bought matching shorts and matching tanks. How many of you ever bought matching outfits to go fishing? That blew my mind. I mean, it blew my mind. Like, really, we're going to do that? So their shorts had to match their tops. I mean, I was like, golly, really? So I got them some John Deere pink fishing hats. I said, at least you're wearing that. John Deere, yeah. So we went fishing, we got out there, and it was a lot of fun. And one of the things that we did is we went from place to place, and we went all around, and they ended up catching a lot of fish. Now, if you've ever caught a lot of fish, it makes the day a blast. But when you don't catch, it's a pain in the rear. You can't wait to get off the boat. Here's what we're talking about today. Are you ready? It's temptation. And if you didn't hear last week, I'd encourage you to go back to the podcast, listen to last week. But today, here's what's going to happen. You are going to be given some resources today that you can actually walk out of here and that you can no longer have to say, I'm constantly falling to temptation. Everyone deals with temptation. That's what we talked about last week. And as long as you're alive, you will deal with temptation. But here's what I'm praying for. Here's what I've been asking God for all week for you, what I've been asking God all week for me, is that you and I would begin to learn, that you and I would begin to take some things that we learned this week and that we'd put into place so that we no longer are Christians who are weakened and become anemic because we don't know how to get rid of temptation, because we don't know how to handle temptation when it comes, because it's going to come. See, here's what I know. I know this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And his resurrection power, his Holy Spirit resides in any believer. Now pay attention, watch. And because his Holy Spirit, his resurrection power resides in me, and greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world, I never have to fall to temptation again. And some of you are going, man, I don't know if I can go with that. And here's what I want to show. I'm going to give you some skills. I'm going to ask that you take and you get your paper out, get some notes out. You need to write. I'm going to give you several things today. And here's what I can guarantee. I can guarantee you today, based on the Word of God, that if you begin to apply what you learned today, you could be walking out of here set free, where you are constantly not falling to the temptation that has once beset you for so long. I would love to see you free today. And I believe it is actually possible. Wouldn't that be fantastic? To walk in freedom. So that's where we're going. Matthew chapter 18. Here's what it's going to require. Are you ready? The title of the message today is this: Tough Choices. Tough Choices. Matthew chapter 18, would you stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to look at Matthew chapter 18 and go all the way down. I'm going to ask that you go down. We're going to start in verse 7, where we looked at last week. We're going to go through verse 9. It says this: Woe to the world for temptation to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your incredible love, your mercy, and your grace. God, I'm amazed at who you are. You are the great I am, and we sing praise to you. Truly, the mountains shake, demons flee, and God, you are the great I am, and we sing praise to you. And now as we come into this moment, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would move and work in such a way that you remove distractions, give us the ears to hear. And Heavenly Father, God, I'm asking that you would help us to have the courage to apply today what we hear. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So what we need to do is we need to lay some groundwork. We need to lay some foundation so we can get to our points and walk through this passage. Here's what we find today. You ready? First of all, it says this. It says, if your eye causes you to sin, your foot causes you, your hand causes you. What we need to do as we begin today is this. We need to identify our temptation. What is it that tempts you? And I know you could probably list 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 things. You could probably list a lot of things. But what I'm asking is this. I'm asking you to get real specific. I want you to list out and say, okay, this is the main thing that tempts me. This is where I fall. This is where I fail. This is where, if I could name one thing, two things, if I can name and slim it down, there could be a list of things, but there might be the one or two that really becomes your crutch, that becomes your main thing that you come back to. What is the one thing? Maybe it's the blue worm. What is that temptation? Maybe it's the lizard. Or maybe it's a, how many of you like green worms? Huh? Is it the green worm? Is it the red worm? What is it that you like? The one that you say, man, that is the one. That is the one that I really like that one because it looks the best. Man, it smells the best. It's right there. That's the one. You say, I look at it and that's the one. Oh, man, doesn't that look good? It makes you just want to eat it. It's a gummy worm. Don't stress. I hate gummy worms anyway. That is nasty. My kids, my wife, if they buy snacks or candy, I like candy. I like a lot of candy. But they know it's safe if they get gummy worms because I don't like touching them. I'm about to gag. I didn't really think it through, you know? Okay. I thought it was a really good illustration. If I spit, would that gross you out? All right, it's down. All right. All right, so what is your temptation? Now follow this. I don't know what it is. Here's what I do know. It says the eye, the hand, or the foot. It means that there's different temptations, right? There's different things. And everyone in here has something different. Now, here's what I know. Your temptation might be different than mine, and my temptation might be different than yours, but it's still a temptation, and it still causes us to fall. So everyone in this room, we deal with temptation, and it's strong, and it pulls at us, and it causes us to say, that's what I want more than anything else. And temptation, oh, you get me some water? That is fantastic. You know, after you have a nasty gummy worm, you need water. That's another thing I should have thought about. You know, that could have worked too. You know, any kind of gummy is just flat out nasty. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay, now follow along. It says your eye, your foot. So anybody, we all have our temptation, and we need to identify it. And here's what I want to help you do. I want you to be able to identify, because in just a moment, if you can identify real clear what your temptation is, then in just a moment when I give you some other ideas, then it will help you become able to be in a place where you can become free. So here it is. I'm going to give you four questions. I want you to list it out. Here's my temptation. Here's what it is. Here's my biggest temptation. Now, you can answer that later on. If you don't want your wife or the person you're sitting next to see your main temptation, by the way, your spouse already knows what it is. But if you don't want anybody to see what it is, I want you to take these questions, write them down, and I want you to work through them in your own personal life. Work through it at your quiet time and answer these questions. Ready? Number one is this. What is my temptation? See if you can get real specific. Okay, it's this. It's alcohol. It's lust. It's grades. I need the best grade possible. And you start listing it out. Okay, this is mine. I need success. I need a car. I need money. I need a house. I need my kids to have a good education. What is your greatest temptation that you will fight for, that you go for? What is your temptation? List it out. And some of you are going, hey, I have more than one. That's great. One, two, three, four. You list them out. And then you need to answer the next three questions for each one of them. You ready? Here's the next question. When am I tempted the most? When am I tempted the most? When is this thing the most powerful in my life? When is it that it's drawing my attention? When? This is a good question because here's what I know about temptation. It happens, and it can happen at times when at night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, certain times. Maybe it's the afternoon when nobody's around. Maybe it's on your break at work. Maybe it's at school in the morning. Maybe it's before everybody leaves, before everybody gets up. Maybe that's your temptation. There's a temptation. There's a point. And here's what it would be incredible. If you would get so specific and say, I'm tempted, and this is what I'm tempted about. It's the white thing. It's this white little minnow. It's this, and I'm tempted the most when this occurs. Now watch. Here's your next question. You ready? The next one is this. Where? Where am I tempted? Where? When I go certain places, when I go to certain things, when I do certain, this is, I'm tempted the most here. So not only am I asking when, I'm asking the time, now I'm asking where. So it's, when I'm around certain friends, are you following this? When I'm around this group of people, I'm tempted to gossip. When I'm around this group, this is where, when, where, and watch this next question. How am I feeling when I'm tempted the most? There's a good chance that every time you get stressed out, that's where you run. There's a good chance that when you're anxious and you're worried that you're not going to get what you want, that all of a sudden now you're driving back here. Now follow this. This is when the temptation becomes the greatest, because now it's how. How am I feeling? I'm stressed out. I'm worried. I'm concerned. Maybe I'm lonely. Maybe that's when I'm feeling the greatest temptation. Are you following? I'm feeling like a failure. I'm feeling like I don't measure up. This is when my temptation begins to grow, that I need some attention. I haven't got acceptance in a while. And because I'm not being, people aren't saying, Heath, you're doing a great job. All of a sudden, now this is where it begins to boil up. Are you following? So ask yourself. You have got to get so specific and say, this is my temptation. This is what I deal with. And man, when that hook gets in the water, that's where it just drives me bonkers. Here's why your temptation is so strong. You ready? Because the devil has his demons, and they have been watching you, and they already know your strengths and your weaknesses, and they already know that's when he or she goes crazy. Now pay attention. I'm not tempted where you're tempted, but you're tempted maybe where I'm tempted, and we just go back and forth. We all have our temptation. And they know exactly where to put it. And they say, well, you know what? That's not Heath's, but this is what is Heath's. And they go after me in my way, and they go after you in your way. So you need to identify, is it the finger? Is it the hand? Is it the eye? Is it the legs? Is it the, what is it that drives you bonkers? When? Where? Who are you with? How are you feeling? Go there. Next is what we need to show you. Here's what else it says. The Bible says this. It says, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into what? Where? Thrown into where? Okay, guys, this is what we don't like to talk about, right? We don't want to hear this. And you're going, man, I didn't come to church to hear about hell. Jesus talks about hell. Matter of fact, Jesus is the one that's speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it's all red. This isn't make-believe. This is something Jesus is talking about. And he doesn't just say it once, but he says it twice in verse 8 and in verse 9. Did you see it? So here's what you need to see. Temptation will always cause you to value this. To value this more than your soul. Temptation will always cause you to value this more than your relationship with God. Are you following? Every time, mark it down. What the temptation is, it's a restatement of what is good, of what is best. And this claims to be the best for you. So it's your right eye, it's your right hand, it's your right foot, it's what is your strength, is what you have the best of, and it claims to say, if you have me, if you get me, and temptation speaks, and it speaks a clear word, and it says, if you get me, if you get that marriage, if you get that spouse, if you get those kids, if you get that job, if you get, if you take, if you get this, it's going to be better than getting God. Do you see it? That's why it's so strong, because you want it. And it speaks. And it speaks loudly. And it's a value exchange. But nothing, listen to me, nothing's more, is worth more than your soul. Did you hear that? Nothing. Nothing is worth more than your soul. Nothing, listen, if you're saved, nothing is worth losing interaction with God. Did you catch that? Because every time I choose this, it breaks my relationship with God. Every time. And what it speaks is, it says, this is what it's good for you. This is, it's a value exchange. And when that value exchanges and you say, that's better, you miss out on the best. You miss out on God. But Jesus in his blood speaks a better word. And he says, that won't satisfy. That won't do it. Don't be in danger of exchanging everything else and losing your soul. Don't be a fool and exchange this temporary life for God. Don't do it. Okay, now watch. This is where we're going to get really exciting, and I think it's going to be very helpful. Are you ready? So here's where we have to go. We've now set the value. We've now set what we need to do. And we say, okay, this is my temptation. This is what it looks like for me. We've identified when it happens, who it happens with, where it happens, the time of day it happens. We've identified our feelings. We've identified it's really not worth the exchange of our soul. Now, here's where the tough choice comes in. Are you ready? Look what the Bible says. He says, okay, you're going to be tempted. You live in the world, you're going to be tempted. Now, watch what he says. Follow this. This is where it gets hard. If your foot or your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Have you ever seen an eyeball hanging? If you want to go on YouTube, you can find it. It's going to be there. But it's really gross. Ever seen anybody who struggled through life without a foot, without a hand? It's hard. Very difficult. Now watch. He gives now a drastic statement. He says, temptation and sin is worth you taking drastic measures to get it out of your life. Now here's where we have to go. And I'm going to give you 3 points on boundaries. I think these 3 points, it will shift the way you live. But here's what it's going to require. It's going to require you making tough choices. Just like the fish gets to choose if he wants to take it or not. And you're going, Heath, that's so simple. It's a fish. That's an animal. And I'm telling you, I hear you. But we are just like an animal when it comes to our temptations, aren't we? We just give in so easily. Here's the radical steps. You ready? Are you willing to now take a radical step and draw boundaries? Here's what I know about boundaries. You ready? I get to choose the boundaries that I walk in and the boundaries I have in my life. See, the Bible gives me some very clear boundaries. It gives me the Ten Commandments. It gives me other things, right? It gives me boundaries in life. And then there's this gray area. Have you ever heard about the gray area in Scripture? Where God doesn't actually get ever very clear. And you're going, well, there's some gray area. And here's what I'm talking about, boundaries. I get to pick where the boundaries are in my life. Now, I'm not going to force my boundaries on you, and you're not going to force your boundaries on other people, but here's what we're going to do. You get to pick your boundaries, and you get to choose how close to this you get. Now, here's the number one question people ask. Hey, pastor, is it a sin if I do? They always want to know how close they can get to the temptation. Maybe you've asked the same question, right? How close can I get without actually sinning? That's the number one question teenagers want to ask and college students want to ask. How close can I get to having sex without having sex? And you're going, man, you're blowing it. You're missing the whole thing. People say, well, how close can I get to drinking alcohol without actually getting drunk? The Bible's very clear about that, right? You're not supposed to get drunk. Well, how close is it? And everybody wants to know the line. And here's what I want to show you. I'm telling you, it's so radical, it's going to hurt your mind, and many of you are going to push back and say, I don't want to do this. But watch. I get to choose my boundaries. I get to choose where I draw the line and where I go with it. Now, here's the best way to draw the line. You ready? Here's the questions that I ask myself, and here's where it starts. You ready? What is the wisest thing for me to do? Not what is right, what is wrong. I mean, most of Scripture lays it out. Here's right and wrong. But where we get into trouble is the gray area. So here's the new question. What is the wisest thing for me to do? And I'm telling you what, I have put this in practice since I was a teenager, and God has radically shifted my life, and it's helped me stay away from so much junk and so much hurt. But guess what? I still deal with temptation, and I still struggle. But when I put this in line, and I ask myself these questions, what is the wisest thing for Heath to do? And then I ask it in 3 different ways. What's the wisest thing for Heath to do based on my past? You see, I have a past. I have a way in which I was raised, my family life. I have a past in which I have to work through. So based on my past, based on the things that I have given up to in the past, based on my temptations that I have clung on to, based on my habits, are you listening? Based on the things that I've done in the past, what should my boundary be? Are you following this? Because what has happened in my past does determine what I am tempted by. Because my desires have been shaped and molded and formed by my past. Okay? By what I've seen modeled in my life. So I need to look at my past and say, Heath, what's the wisest thing for Heath to do based on my past? Now, based on my past, I have certain things that I have to deal with that you don't have to. But you have certain things that you have to deal with that I don't have to, right? Now, watch. So I get to choose where I draw the boundary based on my past. Now, here's the next question. Based on my present. What's the wisest thing to do based on my present? Now, here's how this plays out. Now I need to begin to ask myself, okay, Heath, how are you doing right now? Are you in a whirlwind? Are you in a storm? Are you kind of messed up with all your stress and worry? And if you are, based on your present right now, based on my present, I need to be careful because I know that because of who I am, I know because of where I'm at, based on what's going on in my present circumstances, I'm going to be really susceptible to this temptation. Does that make sense? So because I'm going through so much, I need to be careful and I need to draw my boundary. Because of what I'm feeling right now, because I'm feeling lonely, because I'm feeling anxious, because I'm feeling worried, I've got to draw the boundary. Now here's the third part of this. Based on my past, I draw the boundary. Based on my present, I draw the boundary. And you know the next part, it's based on my future. Based on my future, this is where I draw the line. This is where I draw the boundary. Now watch. This is where it gets exciting because most Christians never even ask these questions. Most Christians are saying, how close can I get? And that's about as far as we go. And you're saying, hey, I'm doing great. I'm living in the gray and I'm healthy and I'm happy and I'm great. And then you keep falling and you keep falling and you wonder why you're falling. Because you're not asking the questions right. And here's the last question that I ask on this one. Based on my future, what's the wisest thing for Heath to do? Now, here's some things that I know that I play into this conversation. I know that I'm going to stand before God Almighty. And when I stand before God, man, I want to give an incredible account. I want to say, God, I did fail you, but man, I did my best. Doggone it. I did my darndest to do everything I could with everything that I have, right? And then it moves a little bit more practically. Based on that woman sitting right there, that's my wife over here in the front row. Based on the future of what I hope to have with her and based on the future of what I hope we get to have and a way I want her to look at me in the future, I've got to draw this boundary so that I don't go there. Based on my future. Then I have a daughter who's sitting here. And based on how I want my kids to look at their dad, because I never want to stand before them and them go, Dad, are you kidding me? You blew it with that? Are you kidding? And it just rocks their world and rocks their faith based on what I want for her future, based on what I want for my future and what I see, the man I want to be. I've got to go there. I can't go there. I've got to draw the boundary. Are you tracking with this? This is so powerful because we're not asking this question. And we go, oh, time out. That's legalism. No, no, no. And I'm telling you, you're failing, you're failing, you're failing, you're failing because you're not drawing boundaries. Because you're not radical. You're not willing to chop off the hand. You're not willing to pluck out the eye. You're not willing to do the radical movement. So it's a tough choice, isn't it? You ready? Next step. Okay, so that's the boundaries. I get to choose. I get to choose the boundaries that I put in place for my temptations. Are you good with that one? Here's what else happens. When I choose the boundaries, I choose the intensity of my temptation. When I choose the boundary, I choose the intensity of how powerful that temptation will be. Now watch how this plays out. How easy is it to grab right here? It's easy, right? I step back. How easy is it? It's harder, right? It's hard to pluck the forbidden fruit 100 yards away. It's hard. Matter of fact, it's impossible. Now watch. Martin Luther said it like this. He actually talked about how if your head is made of butter, don't sit too close to the fire. If you're going to be tempted, move the boundary. And you get to choose it. Move it back. Move it back further. And you're going, Heath, are you serious? That's so radical. That's so crazy. I'm telling you, this is how it works. One of the reasons we like Billy Graham so much is not because we saw millions and millions of people come to know Christ. It's because he's been consistently faithful. He's been consistently faithful. Here's how he lived. You ready? When you go up in leadership, when you rise in popularity, here's what happens. As the platform gets bigger, there's more temptations, there's more hooks that come your way, there's more accessibility, and more things are flown in your way, right? And as the hooks are coming, Billy Graham decided here's how he's going to live his life. He's going to draw boundaries and draw boundaries. And I was so impressed with this when I first heard it when I was young. He said, okay, I'm never going to ride in an elevator alone with a woman. What? If a lady came up and the elevator opens and it's just he and that lady, he steps back and she gets on and he stepped away. He even got to a point where in his career, he would always have his other men around him. And they would all get on the elevators together. Why? Because he never wanted to get so close that this became easy. This became fun. When he would go into his hotel rooms, before he ever got into his hotel rooms, they had already removed the TVs. Can you imagine that? Why? He's removing the boundaries. He's moving the boundaries back so that he didn't cross it. And if the TV could not be unmounted from the wall, they cut the cord. And then he paid for the when he checked out the next day. Now, listen. You have access, men, to your phone, and you have porn at your fingertips. And some of you are not willing to give it up because it's too precious to you. Some of you deal with alcohol every evening, and you can't get away from it because you're unwilling to get rid of it. I'm trying to help you. You draw the boundary close. You draw the boundary to the gray area. You're going to consistently fail in your walk with Christ. And what you need to radically do, if you want to see freedom, is you're going to have to step back. You choose the boundaries, and you're going to have to choose where they are, and you're going to have to choose where you're going to live. And you're right. You might have to give up some of the movies that you've been watching. And you're right. You might have to give up going into some of the stores that you go into. And you're right, you might have to stop some of the things that you've been doing. But the question is that more valuable than your soul? Did you see it? Let me give you one more statement on boundaries. You ready? So boundaries, I get to choose them. Boundaries, they determine the intensity of the temptation that I struggle with. And let me show you this last thing. You ready? When I set the boundaries, I also set the consequences for my life. Now listen to this. This is huge. This is huge. I set the consequences. So when I step over, if Billy Graham rolled in an elevator with a lady, was that actually sin? Help me out. Was it? But if he did, he just kind of barely crossed. Was there any harm done? Help me out. Was there any major harm done? No. Okay, now watch. So teenagers ask, college students ask, singles ask, they ask this question. How close can I get to sex without actually having sex? Where God's not mad at me, where I'm not condemned to hell. Right? That's what they ask. So if I set the boundary right here, as close to it as I can get, I cross the line. What have I actually done? Help me. Are there consequences? There's some serious consequences that can begin to happen right here, right? Because we crossed over. I start drawing the line backwards. I know this is radical. But I'm telling you, if you listen and you're willing to make a tough choice, it'll set you free. What happens if you draw the line back here and say, you know what, I'm not going to kiss anybody until I get married, until she's the one? I know it's radical, isn't it? If you cross the line and you actually kiss somebody, what consequence did you have? Not much, right? Did you really sin? Not really. Are you following this? What I'm saying is there's Christians in this room who need to begin to live a different way. You're going, Heath, that is so crazy. There is nobody on God's green earth that moves the boundaries back that far. And I'm telling you, it happens all across this world, and it happened all throughout the Old Testament and all throughout the New Testament. There are men and women who do it over and over and over again. Jamie's the first girl I ever kissed. Why? Because I understood this principle. I set it in place, and I said, I'm going after God, and I'm going to be a pastor, and I know where I'm headed. I'm telling you what, in your life, if you want the Holy Spirit on you, where he's working through you, where you're getting rid of temptation, you start moving it back, because when you do, you get rid of the temptation. It no longer becomes a hard problem with some of those areas. You move it back so far that you can't touch it. You move the boundary back even further. And you say, okay, when I do that, then if I cross this boundary, man, the consequences aren't that big a deal. Whew. You ask for forgiveness and you move back. Does that make sense? Here's what I want to help you do. You want freedom? You want freedom? Do you want freedom from your temptation? Cut it off. Cut it off. Pluck it out. Get rid of it. Heath, are you saying you're not ever tempted? I'm saying I'm tempted all the time. But I just keep finding where I'm at, and I keep moving boundaries. And I keep saying, you know what? I don't ever want to be tempted in this area, so I move the boundary. Man, I'm really struggling in this area, so I move the boundaries. And what it does is it causes that to become less, because I know the value of my walk with God is way more important. And you get to choose what's more important. And you get to choose what you take and what you don't. That's all you. And here's what happens. If you've crossed over boundary after boundary and over here, and man, you've gobbled it up. And you've gobbled it up. And Lord knows how many times I've gobbled it up. You have a loving God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to purchase all your sin, to offer you grace, to offer you mercy, to redeem your brokenness. And when you fail, instead of stepping back saying, well, I guess that's just human, that's who I am, instead of just living hanging on to this, why not take it to the cross, ask for forgiveness, and ask for God to give you the strength to put it down and to walk away? Let's live in that freedom. Wouldn't that be a fun church to be a part of? A bunch of broken people who know what it means to live free in the grace of God. And when we fail, we go back to the cross over and over again. Let's live there today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to look into your word today, and I want to say thank you. I know there are people in this room today who feel guilty, who feel frustrated. God, they feel like they've been just abused and wasted. Satan has truly had his way with them. And God, they have constantly given in, and I pray now that your grace and your mercy, God, I pray that you would rush in, and I pray that they would turn that over to you. And Father, I'm asking that you would show up in a mighty way. Before I continue, I'm going to ask, just raise your hand. Say, head bowed, eyes closed, even the musicians aren't looking. You're saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need forgiveness, and I really want to walk in that freedom. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, one. Yeah, all over. Okay, God, you saw the hands. You saw the hands. I'm asking that you would truly, right now, give a special grace to those who are willing to say, here I am. Forgive me. I pray that you would work in their life, and I pray as they walk away today that they would have the renewed strength by your Holy Spirit today to follow you. In Jesus' name.